Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Available everywhere in the Odyssey app. We are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cakes Oliville, and Jason Bishop. Mm-hmm. RG3 joins us at 8, Pete Haley at 9, but joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline, bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's John Kime, who covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. Good morning, John.
Hey, guys, what up? I like that leadoff in that lineup.
Yeah, it's a pretty good lineup.
Yeah,
I think Pete Haley likes to say that RG3, when he's before him, because RG3 kind of moves all over the place, is kind of like setting the table for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's the closer.
Pete can knock us in. There you
exactly.
go.
Exactly. All right, so you know what? I don't want to lead the witness at all. Grade Taylor Heinicke yesterday.
Oh, great. It probably has to be like in that C range. However, let me say this: like that last drive, the game tying drive was phenomenal that he had, and there were just some good throws, good timing. The first drive they had too many missed opportunities. And it was the Logan Thomas throw, just sails on him. And I don't know how it sails that much, but it did. And then there were a couple throws like Dotson is open in the back of the end zone on the third down play that he scrambles on, but he's open. He's open in the back of the end zone. De'Ami Brown was open in the play before, but the play was going to the other side, so it never really worked back that way. But the other one, like, he's open. And you see those. But having said that, like, there, and I haven't gotten through all the pass stuff yet. I mean, I just started early on the pass, the passing game itself. But there were definitely issues with protection that made it tough for him. And, so I think I think if you grade the passing game, which you have to do with that, then it's in that range, I guess.
I have to agree with you. And again, I don't watch with the detailed eye that you do, and I certainly don't watch it over and over. But my instinct as I was watching it, John, was whenever we were just kind of man up, mano a mano, our five linemen versus whatever they bring, that's when we were overwhelmed. I just thought, why are we not blocking more with tight ends again? I thought that's what our identity was.
That's also what they knew they needed to do. And there were times they definitely did that because sometimes it was the tight ends who were helping, who gave up the pressure. So they definitely did that. And there were times where they kept John Bates in the red zone specifically to block instead of Logan Thomas, who has obviously been very good in the red zone. So they did do that at times. Now, early on,
I feel like they need to do it all the time, John.
I don't know if you can do it. Listen, at some point, and first of all, like on that first drive, there were definitely five-man rushes where they handled it fine. I do think as the game goes on, and I have to see, like, when Tyler Larson goes out, when Cosme goes out, there's an impact. And in that, like, Larson was doing a good job early on with that. Now, again, I'm early back in the game, and before, it could change. By the time Pete Haley comes on, my opinion could change of what was going on.
Right.
But I don't think you can always just keep them in. But if you're running play action, all that, you're going to keep them in.
Yeah.
But if you have Logan Thomas, well, he's a pass catcher. He's not a blocker. So if you're not going to have him go out, you know, you're not going to, I mean, in protection, you know what I mean? You're not going to use him.
Well, they were doing tight end stuff and three tight end stuff in the last few weeks. You know, and I know they
some of that too is it's also for, you know, some of that is obviously game plan specific, going into Atlanta. I think then, an extra question worth asking, right? But you can't just keep him in all the time to block, but you know, you can use more six man protection. But again, I'm speaking generally because I need to see how they handle it first, right? Because during the game, it's really hard to sit there and take down every detail. And so it's why it's important for me to go back and watch it again to see that, okay, well, they were doing a lot or they weren't. And there were definitely times where the protection broke down. But again, sometimes there were times where it was the tight ends who messed up in protection. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I don't know the percentages of it.
I'd be curious when you go through it.
I'll definitely look for that because the protection broke down. But where was it breaking down? Was it breaking down inside? Was it breaking, you know, and I know they had some problems off the edge. It looked like it broke. One time it was just a protection break where they didn't block Thibodeau for whatever reason.
Yeah. Communication. I mean, they had a different center
point. Right. And that, you know, which in the center in this offense is going to set the line calls. And clearly there was a breakdown because Leno's on the left side and he blocks down inside.
Right.
So Leno's not going to do that if Thibodeau's over there,
right,
if that's who he's supposed to block. So, you know, that was a clear breakdown. So, but yeah, I want to see, you know, what happens. And sometimes, you know, you're going to keep tight ends in, but a guy still has to win his one-on-one block. You're in the NFL, you know?
Yeah.
And that happened too, but I'll look for that and I'll report back to you.
Thank you, sir.
I would probably agree with you on the grade with Heinicke, JK, but the final drive at your own 10 with 3:40 left when you have to, that's an A+. That was an A+ drive.
Great.
And that was probably
1,000%.
Right. And that was probably his best drive as a commander/skin, but
right up there.
I just didn't understand some of the play calls because you can't just sit him in the pocket. I mean, he's 5'10". He's not going to be able to see over those guys, and he's going to sail balls, or they're going to get batted down.
Saying that for 10 weeks,
right? Batted up, whatever. They were very fortunate that a couple of those batted balls didn't get picked. They hit the turf, but
Well, that's true every game too.
I just wanted to see more rollouts.
He did do it one time and ran. Remember that? Got a first down. I liked it.
Yeah, I just want to see more of that.
So he
can get open views to the receivers. And I just don't see that enough.
Yeah, and that's, again, I think it's a fair question to ask them why not. And I do know you're not going to live on a steady diet of rollouts and bootlegs because you're cutting down half the field, and very few teams or coaches want to do that.
Right.
You're really limiting what you can do in those situations, and it becomes easier to defend, et cetera. But, you know, and I think, like, can you move the pocket a little bit more? And I know when you're that size, because it is hard, and sometimes I wonder, you know, I'll go back and watch these plays, and I told you, like, there are guys that are, like, the Logan Thomas throw. Well, he's wide open, and it sails 5 yards over his head, and it's like, you know, he can make that throw without anything there. So what happens in that situation? Is it because you see a guy in front of him, even if he's 6 or 7 yards, does your vantage point mean that you think you have to get it over his head even more? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, does that impact how you see the play versus me watching it from a coach's film angle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, does that, you know, do you have to then create a better throwing lane for yourself too? And like, you'll hear people talk about, for example, a Drew Brees who is a similar height, and how there are some throws where he might drift a little bit to a side to put him in better position to make that throw or create a throwing lane within the pocket, so you get a better vantage point. But that's all subtle. That's a subtle Hall of Fame stuff for Brees. I think it's fair to wonder: can you do more of those? And if not, why? What's the philosophy there? But I know, like I said, I mean, some cases you just don't want to cut down half the field too often. But I mean, I think we've seen where he can make something if nothing's there. He can get on a bootleg 4 or 5 yards. And at least, you know, stay ahead of the chains.
Quick question. because the TV doesn't necessarily show this, and not that it means that much, but we were wondering, is Carson dressing at these games? Because anytime they show like Taylor sitting down, he's next to, you know, a coach, he's next right. to Sam Howell, and we just don't even see Carson.
Right, and he was sick all week, so that's why you wouldn't have seen him this time. But yeah, I haven't seen him on the sidelines, and if he has been, I have missed him. But
well, he wasn't yesterday. He has been in previous weeks, right. but he wasn't yesterday.
Right, and he was sick. He was sick all week.
So but he's not dressed with the helmet ready to go in.
He hasn't
right.
been.
Oh no, he hasn't been activated yet. Yeah, he's 53. Yeah.
Right.
So, like, and that's why the whole thing with the quarterback situation is he has not been ready to play. Mm-hmm. So there really hasn't been a true quarterback decision yet because he hasn't, like last week, they didn't activate him. And if he was ready, you would have put him in as a backup because that's who you're going to want to go in if something happens because he was your starter. And so this week there was really nothing because he was sick all week. So he's lost that time in, just coming back, and like this week it was preparation, and I'll be curious to see what happens down the road. I don't think anything is going to happen at that position right now, but we'll see down the road.
John, the Commanders were 3 of 14 on third downs yesterday. They're fifth worst this season in that department. How is it so bad with such a conservative offensive game plan by them? Like it's run, try to get it to third and short. Like, why is that stat so bad for them?
Well, for yesterday, you mean?
Well, overall.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, it's funny because I was looking at that number last week and I expected it to be better just compared to what it was early in the year, and it wasn't. And I kind of had the same question to you. It was like, wait, they're in these third and better situations. Why isn't it better? And so I think like yesterday, there was certainly a lot more pressure. And if they're in position to, the other thing I'd like to look at is, are they just converting better on second downs and not getting into some of those third and shorts because they're converting, those situations. But if they're in third and long, third and obvious passing situations, it's a problem for them. And I think that's the hard part with the whole quarterback play. And again, it's not, when you talk about protection, it doesn't just mean the five guys on the line. It could mean what you're asking them to do. It could mean needing to keep more tight ends in at times. It could mean quarterback, how he's reading through the play, et cetera. But that's when they're in third and obvious, it becomes tougher for them. And that's been true all year, and it's going to be true no matter who's at quarterback. And that's why, one of the benefits Heineke gives you is that ability to move in the pocket. And the touchdown to McLaurin was a perfect example where Lucas gets beat off the edge and then Heineke has to step up and he kind of flings a sidearm throw to McLaurin. So, that's the stuff that he can give you in those situations. But yeah, I don't know that I have a great answer for it because it kind of surprised me too.
So now that, with the tie, they do slip out of that 7 spot, and now they're right. chasing the Giants, obviously chasing the Seahawks, who won. The Seahawks get the Panthers this week at home, so you would think they win that game. So it just makes that Giant game in 2 weeks that much bigger. Can you comment on, let's say, like the Tyler or Larson injury? Is that going to be
–
it looked like he was done for the year anytime you get carted off, but do you have
anytime
any –
Anytime you're carted off, it's – Yeah, no, the only thing I can tell you, and we'll find out more today because when we talk to Ron Rivera, but the only thing I know is that he certainly looked like he was in pain after the game in the locker room, left on crutches and a brace on his right leg.
Right.
So that's what I know. And beyond that, what I also know is that it would be a big loss because he's a true center, and he gives you some size and physical play in the middle. But just even watching him yesterday against, like, for example, Dexter Lawrence, who's a strong guy, and how he handled him in protection was good, and how what he's been doing has been pretty good. So I think it definitely would be a big loss. And, but I don't have any more insight as to how long it might be. But you're right. Anytime you get carted off, it's very rarely, you'll be back out in a week. But if he's not there, what I'll be curious to do is, like, do you just automatically stick with Nick Martin, who has a lot of center experience? Do you turn to Wes Schweitzer But then that would depend on what's Trey Turner's situation and what is Sam Cosmi's situation, which I also don't know yet at this point.
What was Cosmi's injury?
Ankle.
Ankle. Okay.
Yeah. There was no update.
Did he come? So, but he left the game and came back in, right?
He
was out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, they got some holes there. I mean,
yeah, they do.
They got 2 weeks.
Now they get another extra week. That's true. But still, I mean, I don't think that's a problem that you solve in 2 weeks.
It's not ideal.
And we should say,
yeah,
we should say the defense overall, I think, played well. Barkley was held to 3.5 yards per carry. He did find the end zone. Now, Daniel Jones did what Daniel Jones does against the Commanders. They haven't found a way to limit him.
He's like our kryptonite. What's the freaking deal?
I don't know, but that guy's, if we only saw him when they played Washington, dude's a Hall of Famer.
I know. He's Josh Allen against us.
And like, one thing, and you talk to, like, John Allen was saying this after the game, it's like, I don't, you know, he's very athletic. He really is. And so you can design things to stop him. And they even had, on the one play, they had a spy on him. And because of the guy, whichever the guy who was spying, kind of over pursues on a play, it leaves the middle wide open, and then boom, he's gone. And even if the guy had been there, I think Jones, you know, one on one with whichever defender it was, is probably in a better spot because he is athletic. And so, you know, I also like, it wasn't just on those. He hurt them more on the scrambles than he did on designed runs. Mm-hmm. And that's the hard part, and it's the frustrating part when you play a quarterback like that, which is why defensive-minded coaches, when they're a head coach, they want guys like that because you know how hard it is to defend them. But, you know, it's a bit confounding because he does play well against them, and they don't have much receiving talent on that team at all.
Right.
And it's funny because even with Barkley, most of his yards came in that 1-2-minute drive, and most of those yards came off of draws where the linebackers clearly were playing pass.
Yeah.
And so like that, so they did a really good job against him. But with Jones, like, you know, Mariota the week before hurt him on keepers, and so they were ready for that. But then the Giants kind of mixed it up. They kept him on some inside runs on the keepers. They you know, there was some other sweep. They had a couple sweeps with him. But again, it was a scrambles. And then that comes down to, there are a couple times where he gets outside the pocket because the end rushes inside a little bit, and the outside is now open. It's again, that's that little detail of, you know, rush discipline. If you're going to rush inside, somebody's got to get outside, and nobody did, and so that left him open on I can't remember how long he got on that one, but it was definitely left his own. I think it was led to a pass, a completion, but it because of the rush discipline, and that. Mm-hmm. That can be a hard thing, too. But
they did a better job, though. They did a better job later in the game.
Oh,
and they also need to thank Richie James for running into Saquon Barkley on that read option play on the key third down.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. But they did it. You know, they had four scoring drives in a row, and then that was it. And they got put in a really bad position because of the one fumble in the second half to open the second half. And, you know, that was it. And then this offense really took a long time to get back going, and shoot, that 1 8-minute drive where they got like 40 yards was certainly not a killer because it flips field, it, you know, changes field position, but man,
penalties killed
a long.
All right, John, we got to run.
Absolutely.
We got to run. We'll wait for your report back after Pete Haley.
I'll get back to you.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, buddy.
It's John Keim, who covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. We do have RG3 joining us at 8 o'clock. Coming up next, we'll open up the phone lines at 800-636-1067. Who's the better team, in your opinion? They're going to play each other in 2 weeks. They're battling probably for the last wild card spot in the NFC. Who's better, the Commanders or the Giants? Your call's next at 800-636-1067.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
On 106.7 The Fan, we are live on NBC Sports Washington. So much to talk about. Coming up at 8:45, we'll get into some of the things from the weekend that were non-football related. Terps deserve props.
Yeah.
Big win. Sold out crowd Friday night against Illinois.
The place is jumping.
That was the Mathic kid to hit that game winner.
College football.
Yep, Jameer Young.
The playoff is set. Drab nailed it on the parlay as Utah.
Well done.
Beat USC, which opened up the spot for Ohio State. So there's just a lot to get into, plus the World Cup. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to touch on Commanders v. Giants. We'll open up the phone lines, 800-636-1067. Blink. Who's the better team, Cakes?
My blink is Giants, but it's like 51-49. It's so close.
Well, I predicted a tie. I do want the
prop. Who's the better team?
There it is.
I actually thought yesterday we were the better team over the lifetime of the game. I thought we were the better team.
I think the Commanders are the better team. Jason Bishop?
It's such a coin flip. I'll say Giants just because of the quarterback is slightly better. And Barkley's, you know, he can be a home run threat at any point.
Yeah.
Even though they kind of reeled him in,
I think
but he still
the Commanders' running game is better. I think the Commanders' defense overall is better. I'd give a slight upgrade
if every wideout on the Giants roster wasn't injured or just nondescript, they would be significantly better.
Yes,
in my opinion.
Well, give me who their healthy wideouts are.
Wandale Robinson was making an impact before he shredded his knee.
Was he better than Dotson?
No. But I mean, he was showing flashes at least. They traded away Kadarius Toney. Kenny Galladay's been just god-awful, stealing money.
I mean, they were throwing the ball to Isaiah Hodgins yesterday.
So I would say that our receivers are better.
Yeah.
No, but he's saying that's what he's saying. Guys.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if Kenny Galladay played to his potential.
But he hasn't
like,
in 3 years.
No, he won't. He never will.
Yeah. So I don't even think that's
No, they don't have a player like McLaurin. Not at wideout.
I'm not even sure they have a player like Dotson.
Or Samuel.
Probably not.
Samuel,
I would say.
I'm just quibbling with Cakes's notion.
I understand.
That their wide receivers, if healthy, are better.
But his point.
But I think that would elevate Daniel Jones.
His point is, if he had a true number one threat.
Well, that's a different thing. If they had a true number one.
They just don't. They've got a bunch of number threes.
He still only had essentially five incompletions in the game. Because he didn't have an incompletion in the first half. Now, it was all short passes early.
No, he kills us with his legs.
And then, did you like that drive by Daboll where he comes out and he just says, we're just going to take shots? And he took two deep shots.
It took no time off the clock?
Yeah, no
horrible.
Time off. I was like,
horrible drive.
I think they did that because, and I want to say it was our guest on Friday who I've forgotten, was it Paul Dottino?
Yeah.
Who Paul Dottino said that they are aware that the Commanders on the back end had the most pass interferences. So I feel like they were just grasping, like, we know we can't really drive the ball down the field that successfully because they've now shut down Saquon Barkley and are doing a better job on Daniel Jones. So we can't put a full drive together. So let's just take a couple shots and grasp. And they didn't get the PI or completion.
Right. All right, let's bang out some of these calls.
But I think both of the teams are very mediocre.
Yeah.
And none, whoever makes the playoffs, will not make an impact in the playoffs.
I don't think any of us believe there's a clear advantage. I think the Commanders are a tick better than the Giants.
I think we're a tick better, but, I mean, we could easily lose
the next
game.
By the way,
EB,
you're a big Eagles fan this week because they play the Giants. You want the Eagles to win.
Yes.
Right. To knock the Giants down.
Right.
So you're pulling for the Eagles this weekend.
I think that'll happen. I mean, all things being equal, 8 times out of 10, I think the Eagles would beat them. Maybe 9 times out of 10. Let's go to Vic in Akagi. Vic, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
What's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
What's up, Vic?
I think it was good to talk to y'all again. I think we are not slightly better. I'd say we're better. We were 4 mistakes from blowing them out. But, you know, I know I watch with a football eye. The two plays that number 97 and then I think it's Settle or the guy, I forget his name. But they sweat when they peeked inside and Daniel Jones bounced outside. It kept those drives alive. We were in the position to step on their necks in those two drives. They were in long third down situations. When that the corner number 34, the rookie, when he was backpedaling like he was at a dance or something.
Yeah, that was so weird. What was he doing there?
Yeah, I was like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like if he just would have went to the top of the outside shoulder, that's a deflection of the ball that can't catch.
Weird.
And then it was one play where Heineke got sacked, where the guard number 68, he just didn't pick the guy up. And I'm like, and when you really look at it, those 4 plays are plays where we would have advanced against them. Everywhere where they were able to capitalize is where we weren't or where we made mistakes.
But isn't that how the NFL works? Like, I'm sure that they could point to a couple plays if Slayton comes down with that pass and everything. Like, they could point to plays as well. I just feel like they're very close. That's why the game ended up in a tie. Could have gone one way, could have gone the other. I don't see some big separation.
I mean, did anybody think one team was markedly better than the other going in?
No, of course not. We thought it was a coin flip.
That's why I picked a tie. Where's the back padding machine? Yeah,
we need it.
All right, I'm just going to say this.
You nailed that.
You picked the tie because you didn't want to jinx them. I know you. And you just begrudgingly just said, tie.
No, that's actually not true. I thought that they were both equal. I thought they were both equal. I've never picked a tie before.
You didn't bet on a tie, did you?
No, I would never bet on a tie. It's like a 1 in a million shot. But I thought they were both equal.
Does that mean you're going to pick a tie next week since they are still kind of equal?
No, I might actually pick us because I actually thought we were slightly better, to be
honest.
And
it's a home game.
I thought we were slightly better, although, for whatever reason, Daniel Jones looks like Josh Allen against us running. It's
and also,
shocking.
Let's see what the offensive line looks like going into that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think losing
Larson's not going to be there.
That hurts, yeah. And we already know that Nick Martin blows. What's up with Chase? Is he done for the year?
I don't know. I don't know what to think about it.
I don't
know
what
to think
about it. What was his injury again? I've already forgotten. Was it a high ankle sprain or something? I can't remember. What was his injury?
Chase Young?
Chase Rouye.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. I thought you said
Chase
Young.
I thought you were talking about Chase Young.
No. Chase Young will play coming off the bye week.
Rouye, I want to say it was an ankle, but I could be wrong.
I don't know. I'm just guessing. Let's go to Drew in D.C. Drew, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, what's going on, fellas, man? Love the show, love the show.
Thank you, Drew.
What's up?
I think, man, we are definitely a better team, man. You know, like you said, man, with the penalties we had some sustaining drive. I got a question to ask you guys. When y'all saw that, when Robinson was running down the in the first quarter, when he broke the tackle, he could have ran in the end zone. It seemed like he went out of bounds.
I don't know why he went out of bounds there.
Yeah, it seems like he ran out of bounds, man. I don't think he saw it because Cam Sims was giving him another key block. He could have went right in the end zone. But besides that, man, I think, man, we way much a better team. But Heineke needs to take a strip out of Daniel Jones, play just like him, and stop trying to be Carson Wentz in the pocket.
Just run.
Get out and play ball. That's why everybody like you, man, because you're a game changer. You're not a pocket passer.
Right. Keep
up the great work, fella.
Go crazy. Yeah. Put your body out there.
That's what makes him viable, is the fact that he can actually move.
Rouye had a season-ending knee surgery.
Oh, okay. So he's done for sure. And then has Schweitzer or Martin, one of those two? Martin's hurt too, right? I can't even keep track.
Martin played yesterday.
Wes Martin? Yeah. Schweitzer played. Did Martin play too? Because
Martin came in after Larson got hurt, I think.
Nick Martin. No, I'm talking about Wes Martin.
Oh, okay.
What happened with Wes Martin? Did we cut him?
I'd have to check the roster.
Is he maybe on the practice squad? I know that we've had a couple guys, I thought, in the past that have filled in that have done okay. Nick Martin is straight up trash.
Well, I think something tells me they're going to have a bunch of big fat guys coming into the complex over the next 5 to 7 days.
18 pressures by the Giants.
Let's hope.
Wes Martin is currently
on the practice squad.
Correct.
Yeah. They need to call him up. Andre, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Cakes, I think mediocre is pretty hardcore to call those two teams. I mean, if you call the Skins and Giants mediocre, what do you call the teams in the NFC South? I think they're just, you know, good
teams.
They're
mediocre
playoff
teams.
I call them trash.
But, mediocre playoff teams.
Mediocre.
But I happen to agree with you. I think they're mediocre playoff teams.
You should have your tier, Cakes. The Cakes tier.
Sure.
I can do that.
Speaking of playoff teams, I do like the fact that if we do make the playoffs, we make it, you know, not as the division champions, which is what we've been doing so many years, and, you know, we end up with a first-place schedule. Having said this, the game, I think the team was the better team, the Commanders. I am, and you know, I rarely as a fan say this, I don't like blaming the refs, but when your game ends in a tie, and to me there were two poop pass interference play calls, that pass interference, to me they didn't call against the Giants when our guy Claudio was in place and he was, you know, pulled back. You know, I know it's football, you know, you got to play tough, but it was still to me kind of obvious that he was pulled down and the guy jumped in front of him. And then obviously the one when, you know, Terry had the PI and they picked up the flag. Again, it's a 20-20 tie. Everything matters. You know, when the teams are this close, then, you know, hopefully the refs aren't part of the conversation after the end of the game.
All right. Thank you, Andre. Appreciate it, buddy.
Cakes, I would definitely agree. They're mediocre teams.
Mediocre they're playoff caliber.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of bad teams in the league.
Certainly.
So I don't think Washington's a bad team. I think they're just a mediocre team.
Usually when I know mediocre just means kind of like average, but when I think of mediocre, I think of poop. In other words, when if you say it's mediocre, I think you're
mediocre
meaning
mediocre is definitely better than poop.
Mediocre does mediocre there's nothing means, good about mediocre.
Mediocre just means you're down the middle. Like you're
right.
Not
so
good,
out of the
bad.
Out of the 16 teams
kind of
that are
mad.
Out of the 16 teams in the NFC, they're right. Sure. You think Houston's mediocre? Houston's dreadful.
No, I think they're I think they're trash. I think
your boy didn't fare well. Did you see Kyle Allen's stat line?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't know that offense.
He's making Davis Mills
look
good.
He doesn't know the offense.
He doesn't know that offense.
That's a great. I like that.
That was such an awful game to watch.
You should have seen some of his turnovers.
Yeah.
Don't deflect. No, there's trash. Mediocre's above trash, but then no one ever says they're pretty mediocre in a positive way. It's always you're always joning.
Average.
You could say, but if you said, you know what, they're average, you say that in a more positive way.
Okay.
Okay, mediocre has maybe a more negative connotation than average, but
it's the same definition.
Like, you know what? I strive for the Wizards. I just want them to be just be mediocre.
No, you want them to be average.
Yeah, but to me, it's the same. We're just parsing words.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had some games in the last month and a half where they were really good.
You know what mediocre is? It's a starting pitcher who has like a 4.7 ERA. Can hang in there. It's okay.
I think that's kind of garbage.
It's okay.
No one ever. Mediocre is never a compliment.
It's not usually a compliment.
But I think being average could be a compliment. So, Cakes thinks he's got an average-sized Jimmy Johnson.
I fall within an average.
Now, would I say you have a mediocre Johnson?
I mean, would you seems like about the same.
If I said he had a mediocre Johnson, he would not be happy. Now, if I said you have an average Johnson, he perks up.
Yeah, but an average and mediocre
do you see the difference?
Yes, I do see the difference
so
there.
So I'm right again. Thank you.
Well, I do know this. I'm going to have an appearance on Wednesday night at Burton's Grill in the Kentlands in Gaithersburg, and that place is fantastic. I give it 5 stars. I was there
mediocre.
A couple weeks ago.
More
it's
average.
Great. They just opened up the Kentlands in Gaithersburg. Got a book signing 5 to 7. They've got a great happy hour. $6 cocktails, $7 apps, including the steak, tenderloin, sliders. So come on out. Anytime for the great food and the atmosphere, but particularly on Wednesday, 5 to 7, Burton's Grill, Kentlands in Gaithersburg for a book signing. It'll be fantastic.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Coming up at 8 o'clock, Robert Griffin III joins us. We'll get his take on Commanders v. Giants, what they need to do to beat the Giants in the next matchup in 2 weeks, what they should be focused on during the bye. Of course, it is a Football Monday presented by Chiniga Mios, a 2022 top workplace. Visit mioscareers.com. Right now, we'll do the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by Offenbachers. Visit them in Annapolis, Rockville, or Herndon for a huge selection of outdoor furniture, fire pits, hot tubs, and swim spas. Kind of gave you the NFC playoff picture earlier. Mm-hmm. Again, Philly, clearly number one, 11-1. They crushed the Titans 35-10. Minnesota, 10-2. Beat the Jets 27-22.
They play so many tight games.
They do, but they picked off Mike White twice. As you said, the Jets were knocking on the door a bunch of times, couldn't do it enough. Kirk didn't have a particularly big game, but they improved to 10-2. Your Niners beat Miami 33-17. Bosa had three sacks
in
the game.
He's got 14.5 on the year.
So it's 14.5. He's looking at defensive player of the year, probably.
But the biggest story, obviously, is Jimmy Graps going down for the year. Another season-ending surgery for him.
Tampa's your four seed in the NFC. They play tonight against the Saints. They're 5-6, but that division is awful. Actually, if the Saints win, they got a shot, right?
Yeah, because they'd have five wins.
Dallas.
Five wins right now.
Terrible.
Leading the division.
Just gross.
Dallas put up a 50-burger last night with 33 points in the fourth quarter against the Colts. They are your top wild card team. They're in. Two games back of Philly in the division. Have a grasper there.
How's that Jeff Saturday hire working out so far?
Took over a bad team. I actually think they've got more life.
Maybe
they played a good three quarters.
They may have had they may have had a quick dead cat bounce after.
How many defensive scores did they have? Did Dallas have just one?
At least one. Yeah. I'd have to check the scoring.
So Giants would be the sixth seed after the tie. They're 7-4-1. Seattle would be your final wild card team at 7-5. They beat the Rams 27-23. Geno Smith with another three touchdowns. Just
what
to give
a great
you...
drive that was when Akers scores to give them the lead, and Geno drives them down with, I don't know, they got the ball back, Drabby, with about 3.5 minutes left.
Just over 3 minutes, I think.
And he goes right down the field, hitting Lockett a couple times, hit Fan a couple times, and then they finally throw one to Metcalf. And Metcalf and Ramsey were going at it the entire game.
Yeah, and I saw that.
By the way, the Rams, they may have the worst collection of backup quarterbacks that I've seen in a long time with Wolford and Perkins. Like, yeah. If Matt Stafford misses time, that team has no prayer of winning games.
They still took the lead late in the fourth.
But he's not that bad.
Yeah, he made decent throws, but he's just too small.
Yeah, when DK was in motion, he was waving at Ramsey to come follow him.
Right.
That was great.
It was good S-talking.
Wolford's athletic, I'll say that. Just to give you kind of the bottom, the absolute graspers that are mathematically in it in the NFC, you've got the Falcons, who dropped to 5-8. They lose the Steelers 19-16. Najee Harris runs for 86 yards in that game. Pickett's been okay. Not spectacular, but threw for almost 200 yards and a touchdown. So Falcons, 5-8.
I didn't watch any of that game. What did Mariota do in that game?
Not much. He threw a late interception, but that was like when they were in grasper mode.
167 through the air, and he ran for 17.
It's a typical Mariota line.
That's just a bad game. I mean, he's got to run for 40 or 50.
Neither team threw for 200 yards in the game.
The Packers are 5-8. They beat the Bears 28-19. Justin Fields had another long touchdown run. He's so fast.
Christian Watson, by the way,
he threw two picks.
He's the freaking truth. He has 8 touchdowns, I think, in the last 4 weeks.
And he had, obviously, a touchdown reception on a nice pass from Rodgers, but also an end around that he took to the house. He's just faster than anybody, and he was on my fantasy bench.
The dude's a weapon.
I played CeeDee Lamb over him.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Well,
I'm just glad that I put Fields in because I was pondering Deshaun Watson.
Well, that was a smart move
and
by you.
Deshaun Watson, again, it's the first time he's played in 700 days. I get it, but he was really bad.
Do you get the sense, was Aaron Rodgers saying goodbye to Chicago fans because he's hanging it up?
No, I mean, he likes taunting them.
I know he does.
Yeah.
But that's a weird thing to do.
Yeah, I don't think it was a retirement thing. Are they they're not moving to a new field next year, are they?
The Bears?
Yeah.
No. They have plans for a stadium. That's
That's a red flag to me. I know he likes to talk trash. I know he's having fun, but I wonder.
Well, they are still mathematically alive. If they ran the table, they can get to 9 wins. The Lions mathematically alive. They crushed the Jags 40-14. At times, that offense just clicks. Brown.
It's at home when they click.
11 catches, 114 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
He is the truth.
I will tell you this. Next year, if you play in a full PPR fantasy league, Amon-Ra St. Brown is he's a top 5 wide receiver.
He's probably a second-round pick.
Yeah. I mean, that dude, you look at his box scores, he gets like 8, 10, 12 catches like every week when he's healthy.
So
Goff at home has put up numbers.
Yep. You know, the Lions, the Packers, Falcons, all mathematically alive. They pretty much all would have to kind of run the table to get into the playoffs. So let's move over to the AFC. Bills now the one seed because the Chiefs lose to the Bengals again. That's 3 straight times that Joe Burrow has outdueled Patrick Mahomes. Couple touchdown passes, also a touchdown run. You know, Cakes was hyping up T. Higgins. He is silly. He is.
He's a stud. Now he takes a back seat somewhat when Jamar Chase shows back up. He's not going to get as many balls thrown his way, but he's a
big... Chase had 7 catches in the game.
But Higgins is a big body guy. He's like he's a red zone threat. He's a really good receiver.
Let me say this. Samaje Perine is not that good. I know he had 100 yards.
You know what?
And he's been good for them. It tells me they have a good offense.
I'm going to push back a little bit.
Not that great.
Samaje Perine he's a pretty good NFL running back. Like when Mixon goes down,
he's a good backup.
I know he's done well, but that tells me they must block well. They must block well. He's 3 yards in a cloud of dust. No,
the Bengals have been notoriously bad on their offensive line over the past couple of years.
For run blocking?
I mean, I don't know the run blocking.
I know that Burrow gets sacked.
It also helps that they've got legit weapons in the passing game, so you can't really key on that run.
I'm not saying Samaje Perine is Walter Payton, but he is a serviceable NFL running back.
He's obviously serviceable.
He's better than mediocre, in my opinion.
To me, he's mediocre.
He's your average.
No, below average. Right. But God bless him. I don't mean to hate on him, but I see some people going crazy. I'm like, come on, dude.
No, he's carved out a nice NFL career.
Oh, it's incredible.
When I saw him here, I was like, I'll be shocked if he ever gets another job.
All right, yeah. So you got the Bills, the one seed right now, the Chiefs, and then you got the Ravens. Wasn't pretty. Came down to the end. They lose Lamar Jackson. Well, but if you can score 10 points against the Broncos, you're probably going to win. They win 10-9 against the Denver Broncos.
Listen, I was so wrong on Russell Wilson, and I'll give Drab credit. Drab saw that he sucked. I thought, oh, you know what, just bad year. He'll recover. I'm stunned. I'm stunned at the Broncos' lack of success.
It's gross.
Yeah, I'm stunned.
He's bad. Their running game is substandard. Like, Jerry Judy's missed a bunch of games. Courtland Sutton, I think, had a donut on the box score yesterday.
He was sick. He was maybe not even going to play, but he decided to play.
And what did they say on Lamar? Active. They're saying sprain, so that's...
I mean, Harbaugh said it's not a season-ending injury, but who knows how long he'll be out. Who knows? He said we'll find out Wednesday.
Tennessee would be the 4 seed in the AFC. We talked about them getting crushed by the Eagles. Cincinnati would be your 5 seed after the win. Miami, the 6 seed, and the Jets, a 7 seed. The Chargers and Raiders on the outside looking in. The Raiders put together a couple wins. They're 5-7, beat the Chargers 27-20. And you mentioned the Browns.
A lot of people probably aren't paying attention because the Raiders are bad. Davante Adams is scorching people. Yeah. Like in the last 4 or 5 games.
It wonders why they weren't throwing the ball to him in the first 3 or 4.
Look at his target share on that offense.
It's nuts.
Like, he gets so many balls thrown to him. It's crazy.
180 yards yesterday.
And yeah. Jason mentioned the Browns game. They're technically still alive at 5-7 with Deshaun Watson, who was definitely rusty. Only had 12 completions.
It was ugly.
Had an interception, but they scored on defense. They scored on special teams. Mm-hmm. The Texans won 10-1.
Well, they're on a full-on bullet train to the number one pick.
Coming up next, it's Robert Griffin III. We'll get his take on the Commanders on a Football Monday, presented by Chenega Mios, a 2022 top workplace. Visit MIOScareers.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.